How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another episode. You're here with me, Nick, and I'm joined by my buddy Ronnie. How's it going there, Ronald?
It's going so bad listening to your voice. For some reason, my headphones are really loud, and your voice is not a very pleasant one.
Yes, hey. And just when we got onto this call, I thought, hey, he's in a good mood. He's going to be a bit of fun this evening. But there he is, chewing on fucking mangoes, studying like a student again. How are the student days treating you, Ronnie?
Do you want to tell them what joke I made when we joined the call, or is it insensitive?
Well, Ronnie, most of our listeners don't know that you were born in 1941 and don't understand the use of emojis. So you're welcome to tell them that I sent you the salute emoji and you managed to mock all balding people and say it looked like it was my hand massaging my bald head.
Well, people who listen to this can tell me whether that is in fact true. And then secondly, emoji use is a regression in written language. It's just, quite frankly, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, back in 1941 when you were using papyrus and chiseling stone.
No, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing with emojis, my friend. You're drawing in pictures. You're writing in pictures.
Yeah, listen to you, old grumple still skin over here. Ronnie, did you manage to catch any of the rugby this weekend, or were you snowed under pretending to study, all important engineers and whatnot?
Us engineers work extremely hard. Let me just put it out there. Now, I caught the final of the URC. I actually wish I hadn't. I wish I'd spent some my time doing something valuable. Very disappointed in the end result. But shall we get into it, I suppose. I've just gotten into it now.
Yeah, well, before we get deeply into it, did you see what my colleagues did to my office last week? So
Emily,
I've
it's
been
what you
very down.
get. It's what you get. And you, I don't even know who if we should be talking about super brew positions or whatnot, but that's what you get.
Well, Nadine, Marika, and Nicola, if you are listening to this episode, tomorrow is going to be a very nice day at the office. I suppose this is coming out on Wednesday, so you'll be hearing this after I've already pulled my return prank on you. But yeah, I'm
What
not
are
going
you
to
planning
be.
on doing?
So we're going to be having an office safety demonstration on how to treat someone for choking and how to identify, symptoms of choking, such as 3 out of 4 URC finals and not winning one of them.
That's a good one.
So we'll be giving them a little bit of stick. But yeah, Ronnie, like you say, we're right onto the URC here, the IRC, as we like to call it. Just as a starting point, then, are Leinster the chokers or are the Bulls actually the premium chokers? Because as I just pointed out, they've made 3 of the 4 finals and lost all 3 of them.
Yeah, it's disappointing, but I think the cake still goes to Leinster. Of course, they've broken it now, but it's been a long time coming, and they've been in very good positions most of the seasons and not been able to pull it off. So, yeah, I'd say the cake still goes to Leinster. But with that said, though, actually, I have to retract that because I think us as Proteas can no longer be considered chokers after having won the World Test Championship. So for that reason, the Bulls become chokers.
Yeah, I think the Bulls are the biggest chokers here, Ronnie. We've got to give them a little bit of stick for it. Obviously, unfortunate that a South African side lost in this instance, but to be in that many finals and to not be able to get over the line, 2 of them were away, 1 of them at Loftus last year, they also couldn't do it. But maybe we should give big props to someone that's not a choker, Ronnie, and that someone is Riaan van der Westhuizen. He won our IRC Super Brew Pool with 164 points. Rilman is his name on the platform. But yeah, shout out to you, Rian. If you're listening to the show, please get in touch with us, drop us off your delivery details, and we'll be sending you through a punted hoodie, a bucket hat, and some other cool merch. So thanks for playing. You came first out of 2,120 players in that Super Brew pool. So no easy
Me or Rian?
not you, Ronnie. You're crap at Super Brew. We've been over this in multiple episodes.
I may be crap, but you're crapper.
Okay. Trapgelyking, or what was it in Afrikaans that we used to do?
What did you call it? Trapper van vergelijking.
Yeah, the levels of cuck. It's cuck, cucka, Ronnie cuck. So, Ronnie, Leinster ultimately getting a 32-7 point win over the Bulls, their first silverware since 2021. But yeah, emphatically outplayed the Bulls in this one.
Do you think Jacques Nienaber was the ace up their sleeve? Because the Leinster defended like absolute champions.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Jacques Nienaber, what he contributed to this game. especially that defense before the halftime whistle went. Yeah, unbelievable. It's the thing that was missing from the Leinster and the Irish arsenal all along. And I'm sure those haters from Leinster that were criticizing Jacques only a few weeks ago will be now singing his praises.
Yeah, for sure. I think I can only hope that he does in fact come back for the Springboks. I don't know what the contractual agreements are. I would love to see him back at the Springboks for the World Cup, but it would be a little bit unfair. So maybe he stays at Leinster would be the right thing to do. But he's done fantastic work over there. Wherever he goes, everything just turns to gold. So, you know, they can be very proud of their result this season.
I think just to really drive home the point of how much Jacques Nienaber's defensive system contributed to a victory in this final is to look at some of the stats, Ronnie. And when I looked at this, I was like, surely not. This can't be. But Leinster got 7 line breaks in that game and did not concede one. Not one line break in that whole final. So, I mean, you watch the Bulls there. Their outside backs, Kanan Moody, David Creel, Villy, all getting really shit ball. And that's because of the press defense. They were keeping them tight, keeping them in the early channels and not allowing the Bulls to spread the ball wide. Typical Jacques Nienaber defense.
We can only hope that the Leinster, whilst they make up the largest contingency of the Irish side, that they're still a bit disjointed when they come together for the Irish. So, but yeah, Leinster seem to be working well together, in sync with one another, coming up at the right speed, at the right pace. They got their timing on the money. And that's, yeah, thanks, Jacques.
Yeah, well done to Jacques for that one. And Algie Snyman, Ronnie, becoming the first player ever to win 2 IRC titles. He won one with Munster when they beat the Stormers down in Cape Town in 2023. And then he won his second one now for Leinster coming off the bench.
Yeah, that's an impressive stat. I didn't know that. So he's the only one to have won it twice, is what you're saying.
That is exactly what I'm saying. Thanks for repeating it.
Are you being passively aggressive because you lost at Super Brew or for another reason?
Well, you also lost at Super Brew, unless your name is suddenly Rian. I'm pretty sure you also lost at Super Brew. Ronnie, what did you make of the crowd attendance at Croke Park? Because it was only about 50% full. The stands were not that busy behind the posts, at least. A bit of a disappointing turnout for a stadium of that size. You know, the finals we've seen that were held in South Africa, and it was always a sellout crowd. So a bit disappointing from the Leinster, not so faithful.
Yeah, it's always a difficult one. I never know what to make it. Some weeks we've got big crowds, some weeks we don't have big crowds. I don't know if the marketing is just such a big surprise. They didn't have enough time to fill the stadium. I think that's probably what happened here. The fans didn't buy tickets, or tickets were not available because no one expected Leinster to actually make it to the final. But yeah, bit of a surprise, filling it up 50% capacity is disappointing to see. You'd think that they would be able to get at least 85%+ capacity. Yeah, South Africa seems to be filling out recently the last couple of rounds, but I think that's because it gets to the business end where things start to matter and play, people start to go.
Yeah, I think you're right on that, Ronnie. And I think many of the Leinster fans were worried they'd be going out to Choke Park and not Croke Park, seeing Leinster lose yet another playoff game. I think many of them will be disappointed now that they weren't there to see the silverware get lifted. Shortly before kickoff, though, Ronnie, news came through that Jamison Gibson-Park was out injured. I'm not sure about the extent of that injury and what it says for his Lions. I believe it was during the warm-up. When I saw that, though, I thought, you know, this might be the Bulls' chance. We spoke last week about that ruck speed, 3 seconds or less, and Gibson-Park really making a difference there. When you heard that, did you think it gave the Bulls a better chance? Or did you just think they were going to fill it up? Luke McGrath coming in wouldn't make much of an adjustment to the team.
No, I don't think so. I think they were well-trained, well-oiled. And to be honest with you, I kind of, you know, I backed him on Super Brew Leinster. I was a little bit disappointed. Sorry. It's the unpatriotic thing that to do. And I just expected Leinster to win. I just felt that the momentum was in their favor. They had lost so many before that they weren't going to repeat the same errors. And like I said, they were well oiled, ready to go. So anyone that stepped up into that Leinster starting lineup was just going to dominate.
Yeah, I think they'd had the benefit of sending these guys on tour to South Africa as well, who had faced the Bulls, had lost to the Bulls, in fact, at Loftus. So were quite driven when filling in that role. And to atone for it, I'm sure. Ronnie, 4-1 ultimately in this game shows, you know, Leinster came to play. They came to play hard. Jordy Barrett was electric in the back line. A number of their players, James Lowe too. But Jake White, I think, summed this game up perfectly in his post-match press conference, where he called it a horror movie. You know, he said Leinster gave their fans the 40 minutes of rugby, or that 40-minute performance they'd been looking for the entire year. In that first 40, the Bulls were completely shut out. The pace Leinster was playing with was phenomenal. And, you know, 19-0 at the break.
No, that's exactly the point that I was trying to make. Yeah, they're just so well-oiled. They worked well together. They've been together for a while. All of these players are sort of hitting their stride at the right time. Yeah, it's just that they've learned from their errors, they've learned from their mistakes, and then ultimately they went and did what they were supposed to do many times over in the previous season. So yeah, you can only say that this is actually unexpected, right? Sorry, you can only say that this was expected from Leinster. That's the reality of it.
Absolutely, Ronnie. It really was. It really, really was. Again, though, we have to talk about the Bulls' discipline in this one as well, because here we have Harold Foster putting his hands in the player's face. I thought that was going to be a card. I was very surprised that the ref only went with a penalty in that one. And the Bulls' discipline, they've had the most yellow cards out of any team this season. And I know you say, you know, that's something that's hard to address, but it is something that needs to be addressed if they're going to make a better challenge for it next year.
No, it often stems from desperation, right? You don't know what to do. Something's not working. Your opposition number's getting one over you. So you resort to the dark arts. And out of desperation, sure, what can you do one week to the next? It's very difficult to change habits, to break habits in such a short amount of time. I hope that in the next season, the next opportunity, the next competition to kick off, the Bulls start from the beginning and prioritize discipline throughout the season. Because you're right, when it really mattered, the Bulls really let it slip, their discipline, that is.
Yeah, some better discipline might have seen them, you know, topple the Sharks one or two times during the season. They could have been having Leinster at home had they gotten a few more log points out of that. So, you know, it comes back to bite them later on. Ronnie, an interesting phenomenon in this game for me is that we saw Leinster deploying their bench much more early in the fixture. You know, Alfie Sneyman coming on early in the second half, and then guys being fed on to keep that energy going. And then you look at Jake White, he really only started using his bench from about the 65th minute. And that's not enough time for players to make an impact.
No, not at all. Players, look, there's always two arguments, right? You don't take a player off if he's doing really well. But I don't always agree with that. I prefer to lean on it's a 23-man game, and you need to maximize the overall momentum of the team. You need to bring players in much earlier in the game than we're traditionally used to. You've got to bring them in the 40th, 45th minute, if that's the case. That's what Dricey's been doing. As soon as that performance dip happens, you've got to take someone off, even if they're having a good game, even if they're playing really well. It's just that drop in performance. What that means is it's not going to let you down when you don't need it to. You know, when they're on the line and you have a player that's playing really well, but he's tired, that drop in performance is going to let you down at the wrong time, and the opposition is going to convert it into points. So you got to bring players on much earlier. The 65th minute is way too late.
Exactly. Like you say, it's those one moment, that one missed tackle, that one, you know, two steps too slow to hit that ruck and create that turnover. And you want to keep that momentum going. You know, I thought in this fixture, the Leinster forwards were much better than the Leinster backs. They really strangled the Bulls. I think they really did miss Cameron Hunnicorn and his ability to get over the line. I think only
it's
really
a big loss.
J.F. Van Heerden had a good outing there. I think Marcel Kutsia struggled a little bit. The pack entirely actually struggled to deal with what Leinster's defense was throwing at them. But Ronnie, what did you think of Pendergast? Because still hailed as the Irish wunderkind, but, you know, he was missing kicks and struggling to get those points over. But he was fortunately playing behind a pack that meant he didn't need to get those kicks over because they were still scoring points in other ways. But had this been a tight final, it would have costed.
No, sure. I think, of course, when your forwards give you great ball, when your forwards are being dominant, then the game's much easier for everyone else. You know, the old adage that, you know, the forwards decide who wins the game and the backs decide by how much. I think that applied, yeah. I think Prendergast is in an unfortunate position because, I mean, the direct comparison is to, you know, the shoes that he's stepping in being Sexton's. And That's difficult for anyone, especially a youngster that's only recently got stepped up to this sort of level of rugby. So, yeah, we keep comparing him to that, and I think it's unfair. I think we have to forget about Sexton and look at Prendergast in isolation, and then you can start to see that he does fantastic things. You know, from an attacking perspective, he's a good, strong player, but yes, he's got some areas that he needs to work on, like his kicking, for example.
No, for sure, Ronnie, for sure. And then we're seeing Jordy Barrett return to New Zealand now. He'll be available for the All Blacks and folding back into Super Rugby. But Leinster now have signed Rico Ioane, so they'll be plugging that All Blacks hole with yet another All Black. I think they're keeping that momentum churning in that one, at least. Ronnie, this was not the only final from this weekend, though. Over in England at the Rec, we had Bath hosting the Leicester Tigers. It was quite the showdown between Finn Russell and Andre Pollard, coming down 23 points to 21. But Bath have waited 29 years and it finally happened. They are the Challenge Cup champs and now they are the Premiership champs. Very well done to Bath.
It's a great season for them, considering where they were a couple of years back and couldn't win a thing, bottom of the log, bottom of the barrel. It was horrible for them. You know, South African coach. we can only sing his praises at the moment. So fantastic to see. I feel sorry for Polly. He made a mistake that Finn Russell capitalized on, intercept that led to a try. And you can see the margins were so small here. Yeah, it could have easily gone the Tigers' way, but it didn't. And I'm happy for Bath. And happy for Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas the Tank doing duty over there. He'll be heading over to link up with the Springboks now. But yeah, massive shout out to Johan van Kraan, who you thought you met in France.
You're standing right next to me. You also thought it was him.
I didn't say it was him, then. That's not the first time you've done that. You also called Willem Alberts Flip van der Merwe or the other way around once. So.
Yeah, well, you looked at some random on the street and thought it was Tox van der Linde.
Yeah, Ronnie, now we're just throwing each other under the bus here, eh? So that brings an end to the domestic season, Ronnie, and we'll be turning our attention now towards the Springboks, the international rugby. And on Friday night, in fact, we have the British and Irish Lions facing off against Los Pumas. That's going to be a hell of a game. It's a 9 p.m. kickoff in Dublin. So I'm sure many are going to be tuning into that game to get it underway. I, for one, am bloody excited for that, that's for sure. And next week, we'll be covering the build-up for the Springboks to the Barbarians game in Cape Town. But for now, maybe let's take a look over at the Springboks squad. There's been quite a bit of movement there now as they fine-tune and cut the squad down from 55 to 45. But overall, Ronnie, are you happy with it?
Overall, I'm very happy. And I was about to say to you, before we go through the squad, let's talk about the upcoming fixtures that we have. Because it's a prime opportunity for Rassie to do some incredible experimentation. You know, you've got Georgia, you've got Italy, you've got the Barbarians. I think we are going to see at least four or five different box sides this year. Actually, probably more box sides. Almost every game is going to have a brand new box side this year, especially the next four. It's going to be fantastic. So many combinations, such interesting matchups in the centers. You're going to see fantastic combinations forming, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see. So obviously the Springboks starting off with a fixture against the Barbarians. They'll then play Italy in back-to-back tests in Pretoria and Port Elizabeth. Then they've got Georgia down in Mbombela before we go over to the Rugby Championship with two home fixtures against the Wallabies, away to the Kiwis, and then home and away to the Argentinians. So a lot of rugby to look forward to. This squad obviously being named just to cover now the July test window. And it was 55 players when we set out covering this episode. It has been trimmed down by Russie to 45 now. And we'll take you guys through some of the major talking points there. But just an update on some specific players. So you've got Jono Augustus, who was first time called up to Springbok squad now, had a hell of a season with Northampton Saints. But he's in a bit of a difficult position, Ronnie, because he picked up an injury on the training ground. He hasn't been released by Saints' medical team to do his medical for Ulster so that he can be passed between the clubs because he's moving to Ulster next year's season. And as a result of that, he's been unable to link up with the Springboks. So it would be really sad to see this admin issue, you know, costing him a place in the squad.
Because he's definitely a player you want to see in a Springbok jersey. He's been dominating over in the Premiership, and he's a massive ball carrier. And that's, I'm so excited to see him in the Springbok jersey. And like you say, for Admin to get in the way is going to be incredibly disappointing.
And, you know, it's one thing to make the Springbok squad, but then it's being in those training situations and showing what you're worth, mm-hmm. you know, showing your fight. He's missing out on those opportunities. And I'm really worried that that's going to cost him his opportunity this year within the Springbok framework. We'll have to wait and see, Ronnie. Then for the Capetonians that were all up in arms, Ivan Roos has received the call up for the injured Cameron Hanekom. Hanekom likely out for the remainder of the season, unfortunately. But yeah, Ivan back.
Very happy for Ivan. You know, he's had his ups and downs as well, but I think he's ready to take that Springbok jersey with both hands and do some incredible things there. Of course, very sad for Cameron Hanekom. He's been a player I've probably been the most excited about over the last couple of months. And for to be out for a whole season and then to come back and try to rush back. And we can only hope that he takes his time and does it properly and doesn't get injured again. Touch wood.
No.
But yeah, Ivan Roos, very exciting. Let's just hope he sorts out there's a bit of his discipline. But then again, he's a youngster and you can kind of expect that from a youngster. They've got a bit of extra fire, right?
No, you're right there, Ronnie. So we'll have to see how he gets utilized in the squad and if he can sort out those discipline issues. But yeah, along with Cameron Hanekom, unfortunately, a couple of players on the long-term injury list, and they're not expected to feature for the Springboks this season. That's the likes of Ulrich Lowe, Dion Faree, Frans Malherbe, and Trevor Nyakane, all long-term injuries, so unlikely to see them. Peter Steff de Toy and Jasper Visa, two of the Bok Hardmen, they are still injured, but they're expected to be back in a fortnight to face Italy, so not on the long-term injury list. Damian Willemse currently serving a ban for that tackle in the quarterfinal, or I lie, in the last regular round game. So he'll be serving that over the Barbarians, and then he'll be available thereafter for the Springboks. And Ronnie, maybe the biggest surprise is Buan Venter, player I hadn't paid much attention to from Edinburgh, but a bit of a crisis there in the loose forwards or loose head prop department for the Springboks. And he's received a call-up by Rassie playing over in Edinburgh.
Yeah, look, you've just got to keep your head down and, you know, if it's your time, it's your time. And this is Brucey's time to shine. So I look forward to seeing him. He's a big unit if you look at him. And quite right, I haven't been paying attention there. But he's clearly caught the eye of Rassie. And this is fantastic to see, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a chance for him to, you know, make his mark. So, Ronnie, let's just look at the players then that have been released from the Springbok squad. And these are players that are not injured. They were part of the 55-man, but they've been released back to their provinces. Jaden Hendrikser, Jordan Hendrikser, Quan Horn, Renzo Duplessis, and Ntokozo Makaza. The only one there I'm a little disappointed for is Makaza. I thought we were going to get to see him against the Barbarians, but I do get it. Quite a youngster. He'll have relished his time in the squad. Jaden's exclusion doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Both Jaden and Jordan's exclusion, I suppose, doesn't surprise me. But yes, Makaza would have been fantastic to see. But look, the reality is he hasn't played any other than Varsity Cup. You know, that's been his biggest test. So send him to the Cheetahs, let him get some game time. I'm sure maybe we'll see him next year at the very least, but possibly even end of tour, he'll go along for the tour. Maybe not game time, but let him be in the mix because he does look to be a very exciting player.
Absolutely. Then, Ronnie, there were six players that were released from the Springbok squad. They're currently carrying injuries, so they've been sent back to their unions for further recovery. That's Lucanio Am. He's still suffering with a knee niggle. Peter Steff de Toy with his shoulder injury. Cameron Hanekom with a hamstring. He's out for long. Jono Augustus. He's also got the back injury. We discussed him a bit earlier. Gerard Steenekamp and Ntutuku Mchunu. Both knee injuries. So those six players were ruled out there. But otherwise, the squad pretty much all together in Pretoria at the moment, or Joburg, actually. And the Bulls players will be linking up with them on Monday, so the day we're recording the show. Arthur Sneyman and Andre Pollard will also be arriving on Monday from their respective clubs, and Arthur Sneyman landing on Tuesday. And then the Springboks will really be into full flight the last normal week before they head into the first test of the season.
Yeah, look, I don't know how you feel, but you know, we have a real opportunity to not risk our very senior players, right? They can really go home and relax and put their feet up and take a well-earned break I'm just so worried about, and I don't want to say their names because I really don't want to put this out in the universe there, but there are some players that have been very unlucky with injuries. And do we really need them right now? Other than imparting some knowledge onto the youngsters, I don't think we need them playing in these games that are coming up. I am obviously sounding a bit arrogant right now, but let's roll the dice a bit.
Yeah, I think, Ronnie, next week we should do the episode because we won't be reviewing a game other than the Lions versus Argentina. But let's take a look next week at what we want for the season. So take some time to draw up sort of a wish list for the season and what, you know, a successful year for the Box would be like, what we want from certain players and opportunities to be given. And this is an opportunity for you guys as our listeners as well. Drop us a message. Drop us a thing on Instagram or Facebook or on our website through an email. Let us know, you know, what you guys would think is a successful season for the Box. Players you're really excited to see. You know, an example, Vili potentially getting his 100th test now in July and would be incredible. But lots and lots to come for the Boca. So guys, drop us those messages. Let's hear from you and Ronnie, and I'll have a bit of a chat about that next week.
Fair enough.
Ronnie, just a little bit of news then. Super Rugby final is coming next week as well. The Crusaders have won yet another playoff fixture. They don't seem to know how to lose those. And they've made the final and will face the Chiefs. So Chiefs versus Crusader, all New Zealand affair there in New Zealand. Who are you expecting to win this one?
Yeah, look, it's not the Crusaders of last year or the year before. I can't remember when they had their dismal season. I think it was last season. This year, the Crusaders are strong. They're playing like a well-oiled machine. So I think it's a tough ask for the Chiefs to go over there and win. So I think back the Crusaders. It's not by an enormous amount, but the Crusaders should take it. I don't think that that's in any doubt.
Yeah, I think you're right there. You've got to back the Crusaders in a playoff game. You always have to. And I'm backing them to take this one too. James O'Connor, funny enough, playing for them at the moment. He'll be heading over to replace Andre Pollard at Tigers after the season. So, Ronnie, that leaves us with one thing left for this episode, and that's the May Fokchom moment of the week. Now, it just had to go to Jordy Barrett. That chip kick of his outpacing Billy to score in a final for Leinster, seeing them home. He had a cracker final for them as well. So the May Fokchom moment of the week, Jordy Barrett, it's yours.
And that's it for this week on the Rugby Punted. If you enjoyed the episode, smash that like button, subscribe, and join us again next week for more rugby insights, banter, and the right amount of cheers. Don't forget to join us on Super Brew 2, where we'll see who's got the best rugby predictions and who's just winging it.